views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, Cable Radio Network, and Transformation Talk Radio around the world. I'm so glad you've joined me here today. You won't be disappointed. We're going to have a fascinating conversation. And first, I want to say hello to Mr. Benny. Hey, Benny, how are you?
I'm doing well, Christine, and it's always a pleasure to have the bright light shining back at me every Friday.
Oh, you're so sweet.
There it is. Tear.
And, you know, I always refer to you as my better half here in the studio.
Yeah, I got nothing on that, though.
Because, you know, I can't do it without you, and otherwise it'd just be, you know, my guest today and I having a conversation on the phone.
And
just
twiddling thumbs and just dead air.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a fascinating conversation.
Of course it would be.
You, the listener, wouldn't get to be the eavesdropper. And that's what makes this so much fun. And, you know, when I designed the show, Benny, I didn't want it to be the usual kind of guest. I mean, like interview, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. I wanted it to be a conversation because I've gotten to interact with some amazing people
we have.
Over the course of my career. And, you know, it's like I have conversations with them and I expand it. And I want you, the listener, to have that experience every single week here on Fridays. Now, my guest today is talking about something that I don't know we've talked too much about before. We're going to be talking about shamanism. My guest today is Bonnie Glass Coffin. She is a professor of anthropology at Utah State University. She's a visionary and a bridge builder who believes that educating the whole person, head and heart, should be at the core of a liberal arts education. And boy, oh boy, do I wholeheartedly agree with that. Having homeschooled, you know, a couple of kids. And anyway, she has had really transformative experiences studying with Peruvian shamans for more than 30 years. That's shifted her perspective, but she's still rooted in the rational academics, but also has gotten involved with shamanism. She speaks about this vision with university presidents, provosts, deans, students, and her anthropology colleagues at places like the president's inaugural lecture at Utah State University, the American Anthropological Association, and the annual meeting of the American Association of Colleges and Universities. She has written about this vision for shifting the way we educate people, not only in academic venues, but in popular venues. And she has developed and piloted a course curricula that celebrates this whole person approach to learning. And of course, the learning goes, you know, well beyond the reading, the writing, the arithmetic that we sort of have compartmentalized learning to mean. Now, her educational approach has led her to win both the Case and the Carnegie Professor of the Year for the state of Utah in 2004, as well as the Eleanor Roosevelt Global Citizenship Award in 2010. She also leads shamanic workshops and trainings around the country. She's the author of two books about her work with Peruvian shamanism. Her first one is called The Gift of Life, Female Spirituality and Healing in Northern Peru. And the latest book is Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life, that she wrote with Don Oscar Miro Quesada. I'd like to welcome Dr. Bonnie Glass Coffin. Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's fantastic to be here. And thank you, Benny, for making this possible for lots of other people to listen in on the conversation.
No problem. I'm just the glue. I'm the glue that holds everything together.
Important stuff.
You know, Bonnie, before we get into how you got involved in all this, first, I want you to define for our listeners What is shamanism? I know that some people have preconceived notions. Some people are very well aware. And there are other people who are like, oh, I think I've heard the word, but I'm not quite sure what it means. What is shamanism?
Yeah. I'd be happy to give you a couple of different definitions. The one that I use when I teach courses at the university suggests that a shaman is really a healer who is also a religious specialist and also delves into the realm of what we might call magic. In essence, it's a healer, a religious specialist who mediates between the world of the seen and the world of the unseen, the one who travels between those worlds and brings back messages and mediates those worlds and brings back those messages to help heal his or her community. So, in essence, a mediator between the worlds of the seen and unseen to both heal and to empower a community, bring them back into balance. Mm-hmm. And another way of thinking about what a shaman is in contemporary terms is that a shaman is the one who, through personal interaction with those realms that we all possess, that we all carry within, of our original connection to source. Mm-hmm. The shaman is probably one of those beings who has explored more that connection to source over the course of his or her life, and in so doing can really encourage that reconnection, that sense of reconnection that we all already have, but open that awareness so that we can really fully participate in our soul's journey
so there,
on our planet.
So they're essentially much more multidimensional, if you will, and they can train others to step into their birthright of being more multidimensional as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
It's about stepping into that birthright. That's exactly right.
Great. So now that we know what shamanism is, tell me, how did you find your way to it?
Well, I was a high school exchange student back when I was 18 years old and living in the Seattle area, and I had an opportunity through my high school to go and spend a year living in Peru and living with a Peruvian family and attending a Peruvian high school and learning Spanish and becoming deeply immersed in the culture. And I was just enthralled with both the culture and the people. And my first best friend was someone who spoke English because I didn't speak any Spanish at the time. Mm-hmm. She was a teacher at the local high school that I attended. During the course of the year, she decided to take me on a trip around Peru. We were leaving Trujillo, which is the city where I lived. We passed a church, and she said, oh my gosh, I forgot, it's the anniversary of my grandmother's death. I really should have asked for a mass. And being the good friend that I was, and knowing that underneath all this veneer of culture, we were really very much alike, I said to her, oh, what did your grandmother die of? And she said, oh, she was killed by a witch. And I just, I just was like, what? Here's this person that I thought I knew everything about, and all of a sudden she's coming at me. Of course, I asked her to explain, and you know, she talked to me about the way that that worked. But the idea is that there were other realms of existence, you know, and the soul could travel through other realms. And there were these people who could do harm and damage. And then there were these other people called shamans who were called upon to heal that damage and restore the soul and heal a person. And it just opened this incredible fascination in me and made me want to study more. And so that was really my introduction very early on in life.
That's great. So you became an anthropologist, and you were studying shamanism for quite a while, right?
Yes, indeed. I started in about 1982 when I was in graduate school with my first chance to go back to Peru. And I studied with shamans in 1982 and 1984. I started my own doctoral research in 87 and decided that I really wanted to focus on women because women healers had been kind of left out of the contemporary anthropological record.
Yeah, or burned at the stake.
Or burned at the stake, yeah. Yes. There's definitely some reasons for the fact that I had a difficult time encountering women who would admit to being healers.
Mm.
But I started working with them as early as 1987 and have continued working with those women through the years, but didn't really experience my own transformation moving from being sort of a student of, you know, the academic study of shamanism to really understanding what it was about until much later, not till in 2005, actually.
So tell us what happened in 2005 that shifted it from the academic to the personal realization of what that all means.
Yeah, my pleasure. I had, along the way, met my co-author and collaborator and dear friend and mentor, Don Oscar Miro Quesada. Congratulations on getting his name right. A lot of people don't.
I didn't do a very good job, but yeah.
You did a great job. It was fantastic. He had invited me because I knew something about Peruvian shamanism to come and be a keynote speaker at a conference that he was organizing. And we got to know each other through this conference. I was very impressed with the work that he was doing, the way he was building community and really creating a sacred spaces for people to sort of reclaim their birthright, as we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And about 6 months after that, he invited me to come to his home in South Florida, which for me was a tremendous honor. I mean, here's this guy who does, you know, international workshops and presentations.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he invited me to his home. And I had a sabbatical idea in mind, and I wanted to write a book, and it was about transformation. And so I pitched this project to him, and I said,
sure,
I really want to write about transformation in all these different realms. And he said to me, well, I'm happy to be part of your ethnographic, your anthropological project on transformation, but mm-hmm. first tell me, are you willing to be transformed?
No.
And so we had a ceremony, and over the course of the ceremony, I finally had this peek behind the veil into, uh-huh. you know, those other realities, and that I had been seeking and searching for 20 years. But because my academic brain was always in the way, I'd never really allowed myself to deeply experience the ceremonies. And what happened, Christine, in that moment was that I walked outside of his home, and I sat down, and everything was perfectly ordinary. Uh-huh. And in the evening there in South Florida, except that every blade of grass in his backyard turned and bowed to me. If you can imagine that.
Oh, my goodness.
And here I am, eyes open, perfectly clear, happy, tranquil, sitting there contemplating the meaning of life, and this grass is bowing to me.
Oh.
It occurred to me to bow back,
uh-huh.
and then the grass bowed back, and we did this bowing back and forth for a while, and I turned away, looked the other direction, and I could see out of my peripheral vision all these blades of grass kind of having conversations with one another.
Oh,
it was
goodness.
Kind of like, you know, and then I turned back, and I felt like a rock star in the middle of an amphitheater, and this audience turned back. And what I realized in that moment, Christine, is that we really are living in relationship, not just with other human beings, but mm-hmm. with every element on the planet. And the way we interact, the way we carry on our relationship, if it's one of honoring, mm-hmm. if it's one of gratitude, if it's one of reciprocity, or if it's one of disdain and conquering and domination, mm-hmm. that impacts everything about life. I realized that consciousness, the way we interact with the world, structures our material reality.
Wow.
And that for me, for the anthropologist, was a total flip that I'm still coming to terms with.
That's an amazing story. And, you know, Bonnie, when we return, I'm so fascinated by this subtitle of your book, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. When we return, I'm going to want to hear from you how we can incorporate some of these lessons into our everyday lives. When we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show with Bonnie Glass-Coffin.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Bonnie Glass-Coffin. She is a PhD anthropology professor at, let's see, it's in Utah. I know that. Utah State University. Thank you. And Bonnie, before the break, we were talking about how you're experiencing sort of that transformational realm, you know, not just studying it as an anthropologist, but experience it on a personal level, shifted your perspective on how we relate to the world. So can you share with our listeners, what are some of the ways in which we can shift in our everyday lives using some of the teachings of shamanism?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. This is very much about the book that my colleague and I co-wrote called Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. And it's available at Amazon.com and your local booksellers. And in essence, what we've done in this book is it's kind of a three-part book. We have presented in very short fashion some of the main sort of challenges that many of us, particularly those of us who live in the so-called modern world, have to deal with all of the time. You know, one is that sort of challenge of feeling disconnected.
Right.
One is this sort of the challenge of, you know, making sense of our suffering, right?
Why me?
Exactly, the why me. One is that challenge of, you know, how can I recover the ability to love when I've been wounded in my own life? Everybody tells me it's about love, but it's not about fear. And I know that intellectually, but how do I get there? Because I carry all these wounds to the process of living. One is about transforming our minds, you know, so How do we quiet the chatter of what we sometimes call the monkey mind, you know, that monkey chatter that tells us all of our, you know, reasons that we should loathe who we are rather than love who we are and all of that. And how do we really heal ourselves and the planet? Those are the challenges that I would say that all of us living in the modern world live with. And so,
Bonnie, before you get into this, do you feel that people are becoming more challenged recently?
I do, Christine. We are living in tumultuous times. And, you know, I think many of us sort of expected that this would be the case as we were sort of paying attention to the prophecies in 2012 and, you know, the Mayans and the end of the Indian Yuga and all these other things. And so whether or not you pay attention to those sorts of things, you know, we're living in an era where there's just so much connection in the difficult sense of, you know, religions coming into conflict with one another, and, mm-hmm. you know, missiles being able to be tossed, you know, across the planet towards one another, and starvation and poverty and rising disparities between, you know, wealth and poverty and inequality. And, you know, the world is just accelerating, not to mention just, you know, degradation of the planet and, mm-hmm. and overstepping carrying capacity and all of those things. So absolutely, you know, this sense of chaos, this sense of concern of, oh my gosh, you know, what does this all mean for me? I think it's really accelerating, which makes this particular kind of wisdom so much more important now than ever before. And so in this book, you know, after presenting these challenges and after presenting Don Oscar's life story, sort of,
which is fascinating.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And it's sort of just the way one individual, sort of a very remarkable and unique individual, but aren't we all, right?
Uh-huh,
but
right.
The way that he dealt with those challenges and the lessons that came out of that,
mm-hmm.
and then finally some very practical exercises that we can do as individuals to sort of awaken that consciousness. And what's the main message of the book? The main message of the book is what I mentioned a few minutes ago. We need to come back into right relationship, as the Buddhists have been saying all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to come back into right relationship with ourselves, with one another, with the earth, with the cosmos. And in order to come back into right relationship with ourselves, we have to recognize the sanctity of the present moment. We have to recognize ourselves as holy and sacred. We have to, especially as women, sort of lose that eighth deadly sin, if you will, of self-contempt, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Shouldn't have eaten that. Look at it. It's right there on my thighs.
Exactly. And so this little book tells us how we can begin to awaken to really trust soul and honor spirit, mm-hmm. and open our hearts and transform our minds and heal our bodies through just practicing some deep meditative reflection and some exercises that help us come back into sacred relationship with the earth, because it's all about, you know, giving as we get and getting as we give. It's all about sacred reciprocity, and that's what's missing in our world today. That sense of disconnection can be cured when we come back into relationship with mm-hmm. ourselves, with one another, with the planet, with the cosmos. And that's what we, you know, offer as sort of inspiration in this book.
Well, how has religion and some versions of spirituality affected this? Because it seems to me that there's an aspect of it where, if you have this perspective, we're supposed to transcend these bodies, we're supposed to transcend this world, it's all about the afterlife, you know, whatever it is, then that means that, you know, okay, well, we might have to have good deeds or, you know, or make up for bad deeds, you know, as we're going through our life, but it's not about the earth. And yet, from this perspective, the earth is an integral part of spirituality.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's really the gift of shamanism. Shamanism is sometimes called the earth's first religion, because it was practiced by hunters and gatherers, it was practiced in the Paleolithic, it was practiced by early agricultural peoples, and it's all about coming into relationship with the earth and recognizing that we need to be in relationship with the earth, because we depend upon the bounty of the earth in order to survive, right?
Right.
And so we've kind of gotten away from that, as we can go to the store and pick up our packaged meats and our organically grown vegetables or whatever, But those folks who gave us this understanding were very much that spirituality comes out of relationship with the earth,
mm-hmm.
and it's about living in the earth rather than transcending the earth,
yes.
as you said a minute ago, in order to really recognize our spiritual journeys. And it's a very feminine approach as well, right? We talk a little bit about the return of the feminine in the 21st century, and it's about embodying that deep awareness that we have everything that we need right here.
Mm.
Open our eyes to the blessings of this moment, to the blessings of the natural world, her pulses, her cycles. You know, start paying attention to those rituals and start emulating the kind of magic and the mystery and the intelligence of a tree as it sprouts new, you know, buds in the spring, of the cycles of the moon, etc. Start paying attention, opening our eyes, observing, and living in accordance with those cycles, in order to come back into sacred relationship with the earth, because that's where our real spirituality lies.
Beautifully said. You know, Bonnie, there was a scene early in the book where Don Oscar is talking about his interacting with his shaman teacher, who apparently was, you know, about to pass. But he watched him sipping that cane-based, I forget what kind of alcohol it was.
Yes.
And he could
yes.
see that with every sip, he was experiencing the fullness of all that went into the growth of the plant that created that, and the people, the energy of the people who harvested it, and the whole process. It was like his sipping that beverage took on a whole multidimensional meaning that, I think that we're not used to thinking in those terms in our daily life.
Exactly. Because we're so frenetic. We're so about, you know, getting from here to there. We're so focused on product, right? Even our economic system, it's all about product, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But we forget the process, right? We forget the actual process of going from here to there. One of my favorite poets is a Spaniard by the name of Antonio Machado. And he has this great line in a poem that says, you know, caminante no hay camino, se hace el camino al andar, which basically means, traveler, there's no road. You make the road through the walking. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we have to find somebody else's path. We have to recognize that, you know, with every step that we take, that is the path of our lives. That's what the Navajo talk about when they talk about the beauty way,
right,
and walking in beauty and the blessing way. That's what most Native peoples understand, is that this is what we have. This is the boundary that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's focus our attention on this moment, on this bounty, and we learn to see the beauty. And of course, we have to interact differently with the planet when we
yes,
do that.
Yes, and you know, for me, I sort of approach things from an energetic level. I don't like somebody saying, "Well, here are the rules of what you should buy and shouldn't buy because of, you know, these politics and those politics." But what I'll do sometimes is just sort of tune into something energetically. It's like, no, I can feel that there were people who were, you know, mistreated in the processing of this or in the creation of this. And yes, I mean, I buy organic produce and I try to, you know, try to do things that are healthful. But if you tune into the energy of an item that you're purchasing, oh my goodness, it can have a whole story to tell that doesn't feel very good. And
yeah.
I'll choose not to purchase it because it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Well, good for you that you've developed that. And I know some people do things like muscle testing, you know,
right,
when they're walking through the stores, and, you know, a lot of other techniques. And to be tuned in to that energy is really helpful. And in essence, that's really, you know, you've tuned in to what the ancients knew all along, right, and what shamanic peoples continue to know, and what we're bringing back through the revitalization of these shamanic orientations towards our planet, right, is that it's about being in sacred relationship and honoring, right? It's about the honoring activities that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about knowing that it's a level of correspondences, like the ancient mystery school said, as you do to yourself, you do to the planet. As
mm-hmm.
you do to the circle, you do to yourself.
Oh, we're in big trouble then.
That's why we need this work now, right?
Oh, well, we need to go to another break. Before we go to break, though, can you please share with our listeners what your website is?
You bet. It's just BonnieGlassCoffin.com, just like my name sounds, with no hyphens or anything else, BonnieGlassCoffin.com.
Okay, well, more with Dr. Bonnie Glass-Coffin when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers?
What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Dr. Bonnie Glass-Coffin. She is the co-author of Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life, which she co-authored with John Oscar Miro Quesada. And Bonnie, welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Thank you, Christine. It's wonderful to be here. I'm having such a good time.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I'm fascinated by shamanism, and I'm particularly interested in it now that it's being made, how do I put this, more palatable for the Western societies, or, you know, the United States, you know, culture.
Right.
Before we get into actually what some of the steps are and get into some of the actual exercises people can do, has it taken some translation to get it from, like, the Peruvian kind of culture to our culture?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons that I was interested in working with my friend Don Oscar Miro Quesada in the first place, because, you know, in addition to sort of being a Peruvian and trained in Peruvian healing traditions, you know, he's a transpersonal psychologist and, uh-huh. and, you know, speaks the language of Jung and Maslow and all those other people, right?
Sure.
And that's really helpful. And as I mentioned before, too, you know, my introduction to this was my friend who said, oh, my grandmother was killed by a witch. And right. I've actually hosted the Peruvian shamans who were my mentors in Peru here in the States. And one of the most difficult things that I found in working with them was trying to translate what they were talking about, you know, into ways that people could really benefit, because, you know, they're all about healing sorcery and healing witchcraft, and, uh-huh. and that's not part of our ethos, right?
Sure.
And so you have to be able to build those bridges, you know, and really make sense of these wisdoms for the contemporary world. And that's one of the reasons I really appreciate Oscar, because, you know, he's been able to do that in bringing this tradition together in a way that blends Eastern and Western traditions, Peruvian mm-hmm. Traditions, you know, transpersonal psychology, et cetera. So right. absolutely.
Right. So What are the various lessons in courage that we can undertake to shift how we experience our everyday life?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, the first one is trusting that we have all that we need and that there's a higher wisdom supporting our life walk, you know?
Not always an easy thing to do, though, is it?
Not always an easy thing to do, particularly, you know, as we were talking at the break, you know, for someone who has suffered through cancer or through some other kind of very difficult or chronic disease, you know, it's a fine line between trusting that suffering has a purpose and saying that, you know, you're responsible for your suffering kind of a thing.
Right. And like there's blame involved somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But learning how to come into relationship with the present moment and to align ourselves with an understanding that everything that's going on in our lives can be thought of as sacred and as purposeful. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of Viktor Frankl. So he was, you know, this concentration camp survivor who wrote this beautiful book called A Search for Meaning, Search for Meaning.
In a horrific environment, yes.
In a horrific environment. I mean, this is somebody who, you know, when you talk about suffering, right, how much worse could it get? And yet one of the things that he suggested is that we needed to move away from our sense of being victims, right? Mm-hmm. And for blaming everybody else for our suffering, because the only power that we really have in our lives is the power to choose how to respond to each and every present moment.
Yes.
Because that's something that nobody can take away from us. And that's the difference between living and dying and between surviving and thriving. And that's really one of the key lessons of this book. You know, we renounce being a victim, and we take responsibility for our responses and our responses to the perfect present moment. And we reclaim both our right and our obligation to live in gratitude and basically count our blessings. Mm-hmm. That's really one of the very first lessons of how we live with courage, how we accept these lessons. We move from playing the victim to remembering that we are part of something greater than ourselves and counting our blessings for the lessons in every single day, knowing that we have everything that we need.
And, you know, I know when we're in that right frame of mind, we get that on a very deep level, but sometimes we have dark nights of the soul. When somebody's in the midst of suffering, how do they kind of get unstuck in this perspective of feeling victimized and get to that place of embracing the perfection of what is?
Yes, it's a great question. It goes back to this. Because I can intellectually know this, but, you know, how do I open my heart, right? Mm-hmm, how do I open my heart again when it's been wounded so many times? You know, I maybe have opened myself and I've ended up in an abusive relationship or whatever it may be. And, Christine, one of the things that I think is one of the great lessons of shamanism in general and of this book in particular is that by reinvigorating the rituals, even the little daily rituals of paying attention as we brush our teeth, as we take our first step outside, as we, you know, walk by a tree, whatever it may be. But more deeply, there are a set of rituals that we talk about in this book that help to get us into that space where we can cultivate an awakening to the fact that, hey, maybe this person over here has wounded me in my life, and I don't have the wherewithal to continue to reach out at this moment in my life to another person because maybe I'm going to be wounded again. But I can reach out to the earth. Uh-huh. I can give blessings and offerings, give my cornmeal, my tobacco, my sacred waters, my lilacs, my flowers, whatever it happens to be. I can give my little offering to the earth as a way of saying thank you. And as I do that, I know that I am not going to be wounded. I know that I'm going to, in return, be given gratitude. And so we practice our willingness to sort of open by opening to the mother. Mm-hmm. And I had a very personal experience of this myself. Like all of us, you know, I come to this through my own personal woundings. In my case, I'd had 8 miscarriages over the course of my life.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was pretty huge for me. I mean, I walked for a long time in my life with some very hunched shoulders, you know, carrying the weight of self-loathing and contempt and blame and guilt and shame and all those other things that you carry. And it kept me from really bringing myself to the table, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it was a moment in my life when I just said, I got to let go of this. I can't trust anybody, but I'm going to try letting go and having a conversation with the earth. And I remember kneeling and praying and touching my head against the ground and just offering my burdens. And I got this deep awareness back that's like, you know, it's because you've suffered that you really have an opportunity to become more deeply in tune with compassion. And I got that by doing rituals with the earth. Mm-hmm. And that's one way that we can begin.
What a beautiful story. And,
you
know, I think that the letting go is what so many of us have such a difficult time with. And to be able to connect with the earth. I mean, I know people can connect with animals more readily than, plants and the earth. But just to see somebody shift after having a hard day or having a really difficult situation in their life and suddenly their dog or their cat comes, you know, into their lap, it can definitely shift them. So I think that this connection to the earth itself is such a powerful one. And it's great that you shared that story. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So before we go to break, Bonnie, can you again remind our listeners how they can, first of all, get a hold of your book, Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life, that you co-authored with Don Oscar and Miro Quesada, and also how they can get in touch with you.
Fantastic. Well, both of those things can be accomplished through going to my website, which is bonnieglasscoffin.com. I have the book available on my website. People click through to Amazon. People can also go to Amazon.com. They can also go to their local booksellers. And you can get in touch with me by going to that website, which again is BonnieGlassCoffin.com.
Yeah, and you can always find the names of my guests on my website, StellarReflections.com. When we return, Bonnie, I want to hear more about what we can do in our everyday lives to become more connected with the earth and beyond. When we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ Cable Radio Network, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Bonnie Glascoffin. She's the author, co-author of Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. Now, before the break, Bonnie, you were talking about how we can go through certain rituals that help connect us with the earth. Are there other practices you'd like to share with us?
I'd love to. I would love to talk about the very first practice that we talk about in our book, which is the practice of breathing intentionally and creatively imagining and reclaiming ourselves as a portal between worlds, aligning ourselves as that sacred portal between worlds, simply through breathing. And so it's the very first exercise at the end of our first chapter of the book. And what we talk about is opening to the beauty of the present moment through imaginatively reclaiming ourselves as this portal. And maybe we could just practice this for a minute.
Okay.
And what we ask people to do is just come to a place where you're sitting comfortably or standing comfortably.
And if you happen to be driving a car right now,
pull over.
pull over or get the replay off my website later.
Thank you for that.
Safety first. That's right.
Yes. Thank you for that. Safety first. Anyway, so when you're in a safe place and you're not going to harm yourself or somebody else, but what we ask people to do is just to close their eyes and to take a couple of deep cleansing breaths, emptying the lungs completely and placing the tongue against the upper palate of your mouth and breathing in through the nose. If you happen to have a cold, you can open your mouth and breathe through the mouth. But it's preferable to breathe through the nose. Take a deep breath, filling your lungs to capacity. And then just count to five to begin. And then slowly releasing that breath, emptying your lungs completely. And then again, counting or waiting for a brief moment on the exhalation until you're hungry for air and then breathing in again. So we take a couple of cleansing breaths like that, and then we activate the power of our imagination. On each in-breath, we picture the crown of our heads opening like a beautiful flower, and on each in-breath, we breathe down from above a shaft of beautiful golden light that comes from the heavens and from source beyond the heavens, in the center of our very galaxy. And on every out-breath, we allow that golden light to move down through every cell of our bodies and down into the earth, releasing our burdens as we go. And then on the next in-breath, we breathe deeply through the soles of our feet, imagining ourselves deeply connected to the center of the earth. Again, bringing that earthy consciousness up. every cell of our being. And on the out-breath, again, allowing whatever does not serve us in this moment to move out. And then on the next in-breath, we breathe both from above and from below, uniting heaven and earth, allowing, as we fill our lungs to capacity, that breath to be anchored in our hearts. And as we hold our breath for a moment, we allow ourselves to crystallize that knowing that our hearts are the center of love, and we breathe out through our hearts into the world, expanding our Hatun Sonko, our great heart, and our love that is activated and enlivened through each breath into the world. And so that's kind of the backstory of what we do, and then we just sit in silence for a few minutes and practice that ritual of breathing in, breathing the spirit of who we are back into our body, anchoring it in our heart, and then breathing out through our heart, activated with the love that we bring into the world. And doing that for 3 or 4 minutes, Christine, allows people to really, both in a physical sense, oxygenate our bodies, mm-hmm. which is something most of us forget how to do.
Right, yes.
And in a more imaginative sense, it brings us into that place of being in the center mm-hmm. and being receptive and being aligned with energies that are both beyond us as well as part of our birthright.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first exercise that we ask people to do.
That's beautiful and very powerful. Bonnie, I know what the definition is, you know, based on what you said about being a shaman. Do you think that each of us is meant to be our own shaman?
I do. I believe actually that that's our birthright. If by shaman we mean awakening to our connection with Source,
mm-hmm.
awakening to our awareness that we are deeply aligned, that we are holy and sacred, that we are love, and that as we connect, we are the feet and the hands of a greater purpose that we sometimes don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
And as we walk through life, we need to be here in order to have the evolution of our souls be able to come to fruition. I believe that we are all destined to be shamans in that sense. And that is not taking away from the fact that shamanism traditionally has been very aligned with particular communities.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love so much about my work with Don Oscar, and I mentioned at the top of the hour, that brought me really to a place where I trusted myself to work with him, you know, and to be vulnerable, to leave that academic sort of hat to one side, is that I saw the sacred community that he was cultivating.
Oh, yes.
Because shamanism is about coming into community. And this is one of the things we talk about in the book as well.
And it feels huge to me because I think that in this, at the stage on our planet where people are feeling so disconnected, that need to be connected, but to connect it to something that they're not just taught is right or, you know, is the thing to do, but rather they feel connected on a deep level. It feels so important.
Yes. And finding those sacred communities, they may be our you know, birth families.
Uh-huh.
They very often are not our birth families because sometimes our birth families are the ones that have inflicted the most harm on us,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
But being able to find that sense of community is huge. There's a great poem by Gary Snyder that Oscar frequently quotes the very end of it. The poem is called For the Children.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the poem, the last three lines are, learn the flowers, stay together, go light.
Mm,
right?
Beautiful.
And it's about, you know, finding those people of like-mindedness and like-heartedness. And that's one of the things I really love about Oscar and his work. You know, people can deepen in this tradition through attending workshops and through sitting in circles and even virtually, you know, as I mentioned before, Oscar's doing a teaching on the Shift Network right now.
Right.
And connecting deeply with that community, we have something called Wednesday Night Link-Ups that we talk about in the book, which is where you get a sacred, you know, community get together of a few people that practice this tradition, and you just open sacred space.
Wonderful.
At the same time, people are doing that all around the country and all around the world, and you feel yourself connecting into something that's so much larger.
Great. We have to end the show. It flew by. Bonnie Glass-Coffin, thank you for joining us here today, and I encourage everybody to get the book Lessons in Courage, Peruvian Shamanic Wisdom for Everyday Life. Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you so much, Christine.
And thank you, the listener, for being here today, and you want to make sure to tune in next week because I have Dr. Judith Orloff. Her latest book is The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. Thanks for joining us here today. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's deerdefence@gmail.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to introduce you to my friends at BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor in the United States and Canada. Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. Practitioners often complement Beyond Balance formulas with high-quality homeopathic, such as Pecanus bigeric remedies to enhance patient results. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. And together, let's win the battle against Lyme disease.